Hello, this is Bernd Strom, the Strommer from SoccerSpecific.com. We'd like to welcome Steve Simmons from Northern Illinois University to the Boot Room today. And welcome, Steve, to this interview, and welcome to the Boot Room.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, you're welcome. Hey, could you give us a little background of where you are from and how you first got involved with soccer?
Well, originally, the coaching side of things from the Northwest. Played my collegiate ball at an NAI school in Portland, Oregon, Concordia University now. I played there in the mid-80s, and then ended up being an assistant coach there for several years. Went on to get my master's degree at Gonzaga University in Spokane and was the assistant coach out there for a little bit. My first head coaching job was also in Spokane as I was finishing my master's at Whitworth College. And after that, I was able to secure a full-time coaching position back in the Willamette Valley of Oregon at Linfield College, and was there for about 4 or 5 years, and then was able to move on from there to be assistant coach at Oregon State with a men's program for a couple years, and now I'm out here in the Midwest at the NIU as the head coach for the men's program.
Hey, that's cool. I have a little question on that background. Now, you're from Alaska originally?
Yeah, you know, my father was in the Air Force, so I lived kind of all over the world. The last place that I lived with my family growing up was in Alaska. My father was stationed up in Anchorage, and so ended up playing high school ball up there, which at the time was very new in the early 80s. So that was kind of an interesting adventure.
Now, I've been to Alaska one time. It was cold and snowy. So you guys play out in the snow?
Well, you know what? It makes it for interesting training. You're really on the basketball courts a lot doing that until March or so. We were fortunate enough at the time to have at Anchorage Stadium, we had AstroTurf, the old AstroTurf, so you could shovel that off, and any type of sun that would hit that would melt the snow, and so you'd be out there playing, and the spring season was the high school season out there, so a lot of times you had a lot of the Air Force and Army kids that were shipped into the area who lived in other places overseas and whatnot that had played ball and would end up playing on these high school teams. So the high school teams were surprisingly pretty decent because of the kids brought in from out of the state.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. Very cool. Hey, quick question. Referring to kind of your extensive travels, what are some places that soccer has taken you and some of the highlights of your experiences kind of traveling about?
Well, you know, I was so fortunate that one of the places that I lived when I was younger was in England, and I lived in England for about 3 or 4 years in the mid-70s.
Hmm.
And that's kind of where things started for me. I kind of tell the story of I have a younger brother. He and I, you know, we lived in a town, and soccer was so foreign to us. We didn't know what it was about, and for a while we kind of sat on the side and watched these kids kick the ball around. And when we wanted to get off our tails and started to play, we kind of got used to it, and we learned the game through the kids, through the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so that kind of stuck with us throughout our lives, and when I came back to the States, certainly played other sports, but soccer kind of stuck with us, and it's the bug, you know, when you've been over to Europe and you've been to games as a young kid and seen the atmosphere, it stays with you for a lifetime. So that's kind of how things stuck with me as far as soccer.
Hmm. And then have you since, in terms of like coaching and playing and so forth, were you able to get overseas at all and kind of experience it as a coach and as a player?
Well, you know what, as a coach, I was able to go back over a couple times as far as recruiting, and that's been just a fantastic experience. I've been able to go to Great Britain and go to Sweden and Norway and evaluate talent there, and just, you know, in addition to recruiting, really taking a hard look at how the training regimen goes with those certain countries, because, you know, they're definitely each of the countries have their own identity. So that's been just a fantastic situation for me to be able to pull things from those experiences to develop my own experience, and hopefully I can put the best thing on the table. table for the kids that I coach here at NIU.
That brings up a good transition. Speaking of kind of coaching and getting overseas, looking for players, perhaps in Great Britain or Norway, and they bring a specific identity from those places. As you are trying to build the NIU program, the Huskies there, what is it that you are trying to, what are you looking for when you're recruiting? What is it, what strikes you when you meet players or see players that draws you to want to recruit them and bring them into your program?
Well, I think that's an awfully good question, and I think that will depend on what stage the program's in. I think when you're evolving, and if your program like our program here at NIU, was struggling when I took over, it's going to be quite difficult to maybe find the ideal player, although you try to recruit that player at that particular time. I think the ideal players will always tend to look for the programs who are maybe a little more established, who have more wins than losses, that kind of thing. So, in the beginning here, it's about looking at kids who can provide some more athleticism. Maybe look at the athletic side of recruiting and the attributes. And as things progress on, maybe look at now more players. We always want that athletic side to our kids, but now maybe we're able to attract kids that can play a little more, find soccer solutions versus athletic solutions when they play. And so as you move on in that evolution scale of a program, and hopefully you get to a point where you are getting more wins and losses, and you're able to attract players who have the athletic element, players who can play and think on their feet, you want that total kit. But I think at the beginning, you have to be realistic on where you're going to find those kids. And in the end, you just got to make sure that no matter what stage of the evolution process you're on, that you've got kids that have integrity and character. And I think that's so important, because they've got to buy into what you're doing.
Hmm. Hey, as you've been there at NIU, what's been the highlight so far in coaching there? And then perhaps even to go further back, your experience at Linfield College in Oregon, you had a pretty awesome team, it sounded like, with that group. So could you tell a little bit about starting and kind of the highlight in starting at NIU and then going back to Linfield and having that really great season in particular?
Well, I was fortunate at some of my previous coaching assignments to have been at maybe ground bottom or rebuilding situations, and kind of been a part of it, of building or rebuilding programs at Linfield. It was a tough deal there at the beginning, but I relish the challenge. I think coaches oftentimes are measured by what the talent pools, and you really have to coach. And at Linfield, boy, it definitely was a challenge, and it took over 5 years. But, in the end, in 2000, the men's program be able to go to the Final Four, went 21-1-1, ranked number 3 in the country, Division 3. That was a heck of a challenge. And then was able to be a part of an Oregon State deal with Dana Taylor and Jesse Cormier at the time. The three of us were able to really put Oregon State on the map, and at NIU, again, another challenge, take over a team that wins a handful of games over a number of years. My first fall here without a recruiting year, we'd won 3 games in 2003, and this year we're able to win 12 games, and I think was the second largest turnaround from 2003 to 2004 in the country. So that's been a major high for me as far as seeing the culture change and witnessing how you see young men who at one point their belief system is maybe not as strong, and now they really embrace what you're trying to do. I think being a part of that whole process and watching these kids, morph right in front of your eyes into something that they believe in and they're going to invest in themselves at every place I've been to is just, it's been an awesome experience.
Hmm. Sounds like there's a little bit in your language of being able to see, to have hope, and to vision what might be. And so as you know, there's going to be lots of people who listen to these recordings and going to soccerspecific.com to check it out. And there's going to be young kids. There'll be young coaches of young kids. What would you give them in terms of advice, in terms of building into kids this sense of character of believing and hoping and buying into a system?
Well, you know, I think it starts with yourself. You know, one of the things that we really try to hammer in to our players here, and I know we did it at Oregon State, and I know Coach Taylor continues to do it there, is that, you know, nothing comes for free. There's an investment you have to make into yourself, and if you have a belief that there are not going to be any shortcuts, that you're going to do the work, and understand when you do the work, you're not guaranteed to get the instant gratification, but you know if you don't do the work, you won't succeed. So, you know, doing that with that realism, and that you're going to flat out do the work, make mistakes, how do you adjust after mistakes, and continue to press on. You know, I have three children, and, you know, right now I've got like a son, my eldest son, who's, you know, no matter if it's homework or if it's sports or recreational activities, you know, I always try to express to him, you know, right now it's not the result as much as what you do to get the result. And if you don't achieve it, how are you trying to fix things? Are you a problem solver, or are you going to be a person that's going to be dwelling on things? And that goes all the way from the players right up to me to the coach, you know. And I think if I can share any type of wisdom that I've learned the hard way, is that if you're a young coach, you have a tremendous amount of impact on your young players, and that it starts with you on how you treat players based on giving them an environment to get better and to be able to learn from mistakes, and knowing that it's not the mistake, it's what you do right after. And I think that if you're trying to really establish a culture, in the end, it's a culture of excellence, and it's the hardest thing to do, but in the end, it's lasting, and I think other people of excellence are really fascinated by it as well. So that's what I would impart to other coaches.
Well, it seems to me, Steve, that this excellence theme is certainly part of your life story. You've succeeded at just about every level that you've worked towards, which is great. What is the next thing for Steve Simmons? What is it that you're, how are you getting better? How are you achieving more excellence, if that's even possible? And what kind of do you see lying ahead of you? What is your hope and vision?
Well, you know what, I think that if you truly are of excellence, you know that you really don't know it all. I think there's a humbling side to excellence, that you always have something to learn. A matter of fact, I spent last weekend in Las Vegas with your brother, Dan Strom, at a symposium for Region 4, and they had some coaches in from other parts of the world, and boy, there were some new things I got from that. And I think as long as a coach and myself, you know, you keep your mind open to that, you know, there's always something out there to learn. And you know what? It doesn't have to be from coaches with the certification or the badges. I think there's a lot to learn from players, all the way from the youth through high school through college. There are things that you can pick up. And I think the openness you have in your mind of being able to improve, because in the end, Baron, it's about your ability as a coach to evolve. You know, you're going to have your own personality of how you do things, and there are going to be some things that definitely work and have worked in the past, but the awareness to evolve over time, because your audience changes. You know, the players that you coach 10 years ago are going to be different than 10 years from now, and that ability to evolve and how you treat players, I think, are huge, and you can still maintain your standards. And then you look at tactically, you know, just about the game, how things change in the game because the players change. You know, you have more athletic players now. The systems of play are going to change, and your ability to understand and implement those things tactically, I think, is just going to make you a coach that is going to be a coach that's going to have some longevity. So those are things that I'm really into as far as where my career is headed, is to make sure that I'm constantly aware of evolution in the game so that I can keep current. And as long as I keep current, I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy my experience with the kids. And wherever that leads me, I'll be happy.
Hey, if I was to interview one of your players there at NIU, what would they say about you? What would be the trait that they would kind of pick up on? Their favorite thing about Steve Simmons?
Well, I don't know about favorite, but I hopefully, you know, it's fair, but very, very demanding. I hold a high level of expectation, but hopefully they say that through that level of expectation that we give them the direction and the guidance and the resources to achieve that. But I think they will tell you that it's very demanding. However, having said that, they understand what that leads to and what the possible payoffs could be. And these young men saw that this year with a tremendous season. But hopefully it's fair, clear guidance, and you know that we know what we're talking about and that we have their best interest and their development in mind.
All right, a little curveball, Steve.
All right.
Great answer. Having commented on a player thinking about you and what they would say about you, hey, what are your kids saying about you? That boy you mentioned, that son of yours, what does he say about Dad?
Well, you know, hopefully, number one, that Dad loves him, which I do. I mean, those my children are my life, you know, along with my wife. But they know that hopefully Daddy works hard and, you know, you know, There's some cliches we have around the house that, you know, we all try to treat each other nice, but there's no whining in the Simmons house. No whiners are allowed, and that's something that we try to do from mom and dad to the children. But that in the end, that, you know, that I love them dearly, but I also want them to always try. And if they want something and it means something to them, that they'll practice that doing that and practice that trying and not to be focused on results, be focused on your effort. And we try to do that all the time. So that's more the dad. The dad's, you know, a little more the driver of the family. So I'm sure sometimes I'm not too popular, but in the end, and, you know, and when I say in the end, when they get really old, hopefully they'll appreciate it. But for now, you know, I'm just dad, and I try to be the best dad possible.
Hey, that sounds great. Hey, Steve, anything else you'd like to add to soccerspecific.com?
Well, you know, this is what a wonderful tool for coaches. You know, I certainly wish that soccerspecific.com had been around when I was younger, as far as wanting to get into coaching. There's certain I've been on the website to browse around, and there's just some fantastic tools for any coach, whether it's the veteran coach to the new coach. I know that if players are venturing to transition from player to coach, any type of information, such as the information on this website, is just going to be something that you put in your tool bag, and it's going to make you a better teacher. Because in the end, I think this website presents, you know, how to teach, because as players you can juggle a ball a million times, but if you can't get it across to your kids, it does nobody any good. So I'm just very pleased to be a part of this, and hopefully you have me back in the future.
Absolutely. Hey, thank you, Steve Simmons, NIU head soccer coach, for being a part of this. I am Berent Strom, the Strommer from SoccerSpecific.com, thanking you for listening, and hope you come back soon. Bye-bye.